The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the September issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin right on the front cover. We have Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills NFL team. Looks like Stephon is on the back of Josh Allen, raising the number 2, and Josh Allen underneath with also the number 2. The BFF issue. The best friends issue. Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, these Bills buddies have Buffalo dreaming big. Let's go on to the see what we have in store for us this month. The lineup. This is the September-October issue, 2021. The Favs or Faves, freeze frame, page 2. Sports cards, page 7. Hot take, page 9. Birthdays, page 11. Posters, page 27. The Treehouse, page 31. What's the Call, page 52. Games, 53. Art Gallery, page 54. And Buzz Beamer, page 56. And some of our featured articles on page 18. Meet the architect behind the Rangers' new stadium. The Kraken will try to replicate the success of the Golden Knights in their first NHL season, page 22. Mascot Mash. When you're made of felt, coming up with a Halloween costume can be tricky. Page 42. Page 44. Fall ball catch-all. Everything you need to know about autumn's pro sports seasons. And Sidney McLaughlin, the record-setting hurdler, had quite a summer. Page 50. The BFF issue. 34 Bills' best buds, Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, lead our look at friendship in sports. Also, lessons we can learn from old pals and pointers on making new friends. Let's start in plain view. First freeze frame, July 31st, 2021, Tokyo, Japan. The Olympics were held with no spectators, but occasionally people caught a glimpse of the action like the passengers on the jet that passed overhead during Kenneth Tencio Esquivel's BMX freestyle run. Unlike the plane's pilot, Costa Rica's Tencio Esquivel didn't perfectly stick his landing. He finished fourth in the competition, which was won by Logan Martin of Australia. Moving to our second freeze frame, a scoreboard here. Looks like one from the olden days. Has the Yankees and the White Sox. Freeze frame. Amazing place. August 12th, 2021. Dyersville, Iowa. Apologies for the corny headline. But the venue for the Yankees-White Sox Field of Dreams game was pretty cool. The game took place on a makeshift diamond in a cornfield near the site of the 1989 movie Field of Dreams. New York scored 4 times in the ninth, but Chicago won 9-8 on a 2-1 walk-off home run by Tim Anderson. Terrence the Turtle. Hi, kids. My name is Terrence, and I have a problem. The ocean where my friends and family live is getting trashed because people are not careful with their recycling and garbage. Last month, my sister Tony ate a plastic bag that was floating in the water because she thought it was a jellyfish. She got so sick she couldn't eat any food. It was scary. I have other stories like that, but they make me sad, so I don't like telling them. But do you know what makes me happy? It makes me happy when people put their recycling and trash in the right place so it doesn't end up in the oceans. With their standardized labels, my friends at Recycle Across America make it super simple to recycle right. The labels have pictures of everything that can go in the recycling bin. How easy is that? Will you please use the labels found at www.recyclecrossamerica.com? recyclerecycle.org so you can recycle right. And ask your family and friends to use them, too. Let's put trash and recycling where it belongs, not in the oceans. Thanks for your help, kids. Your friend, Terrence. Who's who in sports? Go to line number one. Tina Charles, Washington Mystic Center. Her height is 6'4". She was born December 5th, 1988, in her hometown, Queens, New York. After sitting out the 2020 WNBA season, bubble season, Charles returned with a vengeance. She averaged 26.3 points and 10 rebounds through the first 17 games of the season, her first with the Mystics. She won the MVP award in 2012 with the Sun. But did you know Charles won her third Olympic gold medal in August? The record is held by Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, who have won five. All three players played college ball at UConn. Max Muncy, Los Angeles Dodgers infielder. His height is 6 feet. His weight is 215 pounds. He was born August 25th, 1990, in his hometown, Keller, Texas. In 2021, Muncy made his second National League All-Star team. Through 96 games, he had 23 home runs and led all National League position players in the WAR, 5.1. The versatile Muncy saw time at first, second, and third base and hit in six different spots in the batting order. Did you know the longest game in World Series history was Game 3 in 2018, which lasted 18 innings? It ended when Muncy hit a walk-off homer, giving the Dodgers a 3-2 win over the Red Sox. And finally, Will Bednar, Mississippi State's Bulldog pitcher. His height is 6'2". His weight is 229 pounds. He was born June 13, 2000, his hometown, Valencia, Pennsylvania. In the decisive Game 3 of the College World Series Championship Series, Bednar threw six no-hit innings against Vanderbilt. The Bulldogs won 9-0, giving Mississippi State its first team national title. Bednar, who had a 1.47 ERA in 18 and a third innings, was named most outstanding player of the College World Series. He was a first-round pick of the Giants in the 2021 draft. Did you know the school with the most NCAA team national championships is Stanford, which has won 128. Now for warm-up, the hot take. Has a picture here. Hail to the Washington football team. Should let their new name arrive organically. Seven rules for team design. With the advent of the Seattle Kraken and the rebranding of the Cleveland Guardians, sports may be entering a golden age of confusing team names. I have to look up on Wikipedia. You've heard the term copycat league used to refer to tactics, but it applies to branding too. Why else would so many mascots literally be cats? Looking at you, Panthers, 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 Panthers. Luckily, there still exists a true iconoclast in this world, a mind that can think for itself. Mine. Normally, I don't just give away my expert advice. Frankly, though, I can't watch another game in which the team in dark blue jerseys with white letters runs into the team in the white jersey with dark blue letters, which brings me to my first rule. Rule number one, no more blue. Is the vanilla of colors, or would that be vanilla? Teams that have been in blue since the dinosaurs, like the Yankees, have staked their claim. Everyone else needs to find a different crayon. The Nashville Predators threw off the oppressive yoke of Indigo in 2011 and became the yellowest team ever. I can't eat a banana or stare directly into the sun without thinking of them. Or how about the neon orange of their neighbors in Knoxville? Say what you will about Tennesseans, but they know how to stay visible to deer hunters. Number two, three colors max. The more colors in a uniform, the less iconic it is. Who's more recognizable? The Lakers, who wear purple and yellow, or the suns who were purple, orange, gray, and yellow. What does purple have to do with the sun anyway? Phoenix, you ceded the sun association to the predators. I've already taken blue off the table. That should help. Number three, think ahead. The Jazz get points for being different, but the name wasn't future-proof. It didn't really survive the move from New Orleans to Utah. No one hears a saxophone and is instantly transported to Salt Lake City. And don't tell me about the St. Louis Blues. That's just an excuse to skirt rule number one. Number four, stick with your city. Pittsburgh has black and gold. Seattle has dark green. Nothing kills the look of a bedroom like a mismatched poster. The Arizona Cardinals were red. The Coyotes switched to red. Then the Diamondbacks became red, too. And yet there remains a team in Phoenix whose colors are purple, orange, gray, and yellow, supposedly representing the sun. Number five, more decorations. The coolest part of soldiers' uniforms are the rank insignias. Hockey gets it with captains and assistant captains. In Finland, they take the concept even further, having teams' top point scorers wear special shiny helmets. Ohio State's Buckeye stickers don't go far enough. Tom Brady should have so many medals hanging off his jersey, he can barely lift his arm to throw. Number six, don't force a name. The Washington football team plans to announce its new mascot sometime this season. Why rush it? Executives picking a team name is too top-down. Let the squad earn it. What's a cooler name, the Philadelphia Flyers or the Broad Street Bullies? Think of the Stanford Tree. The school's official nickname is the Cardinal, but then some wild kids dressed up as foliage. That's true grassroots, no pun intended, fan culture. Washington should let an organic nickname develop. Instead, they'll probably just pick a kind of cat. Number seven, get weird. While the Seattle Kraken jerseys are blue, the name is novel. How better to jumpstart a new and unproven franchise than a word that's ancient and feared? Do people really dread the sun? Actually, given climate change, maybe they should. I might have been unfair to the Phoenix Suns in this column. I'm not trying to steal Charles Barkley's bit here. But hey, it's easier to criticize than create. So I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and describe to you what I've been working on for my little league team. It's a hot pink and brown plaid with lime green racing stripes going down the pant leg. The editors wouldn't let me show it in the magazine, but I'm sure they're just jealous. Next we have video games. A good fall OVR. The latest games from several fan favorite franchises are coming. Here's what to expect. NBA 2K22. Release date, September 10th. Cover stars, Luka Doncic, Standard Edition, Dirk Nowitzki, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Kevin Durant. 17th Anniversary Edition. Candace Parker, WNBA 25th Anniversary Edition. What's new? A revamped fatigue system will put a premium on bench play. Shot-blocking moves have been upgraded. Prepare your finger wag. FIFA 22. Release date, October 1st. Cover star, Kylian Mbappe. What's new? Goalkeeping has been improved to give your team a better chance in making a clutch save. Volta Football made feat mode features multiplayer minigame to try with friends, including dodgeball. Explosive sprint mechanic will provide an extra gear in one-on-one situations. NHL 22. Release date, October 15th. Cover star, Austin Matthews. What's new? The best players will have superstar X-Factor abilities, a feature inspired by the Madden games. The series also switched to the Frostbite engine for better graphics. In franchise mode, players can control the Kraken or expand to a 33rd team. Whalers 2? September birthdays. September 1st, the Minnesota Wilds' Mats Zuccarello turns 34 years old. September 10th, Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds turns 38. September 19th, United States Olympic soccer player Tianna Davidson celebrates her 23rd birthday. September 29th, Brooklyn Nets forward Kevin Durant turns 33. September 30th, Dodgers closer Kenley Jansen celebrates his 31st birthday. Continuing with warm-up, page 12, future star Deja Duncan, hometown Claremont, Florida. Birthday, January 12, 2008. Sport, track and field. On the track, there's not much Deja Duncan can't do, but that hasn't always been her thing. When she was around 7, she was already dancing, cheerleading, and cooking. I knew I was fast as Deja, who raced against her brothers for fun and asked her mom to register her for club track. She soon won her first national championship in the high jump in 2017 and has taken 12 more titles and set 3 age group records since then. In July, Deja took junior Olympic gold in the pentathlon and the 100-meter hurdles, 14.43. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a Sports Kid of the Month, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskid@si.com. Page 13, Kid Reporter. Kid Reporter question and answer, Lori Hernandez. Despite an injury keeping her out of this year's Olympics, this 21-year-old gold medalist has exciting opportunities ahead. Interview by Kid Reporter Emma Abramson. SI Kids, what types of emotions do missing out on Tokyo 2020 due to an injury trigger for you? Lori Hernandez. There's a lot of frustration in that. It's one thing to put your foot down and say, okay, I choose to be done, but that wasn't the case this time around. I had been training really hard and had ended up moving across the country to come back, and to have a fall like that was really discouraging. There were a lot of emotions flying and lots of tears. SI Kid, could you describe the Gold Over America tour? Lori, in the Gold Over America tour, there's going to be about 35 cities that we get to travel to. We have all types of athletes, but of course we know Simone Biles is kind of headlining this tour. We all specialize in something, whether that be entertainment or dancing or bars or beam. What's fun is that we also have athletes who are not Olympians that have gone to college and made a big name for themselves. SI Kid, what is your role in UNICEF, and why did you choose to be an ambassador for it? Lori, I'm proud to be a UNICEF supporter and to be part of an organization that is making a really positive impact for kids around the world. There are different rallies to support kids around the world, and the goal is to empower all the kids out there and to make sure they know what they are, that they are loved and supported. SI Kid, do you have any other dreams that you want to accomplish in life? Lori, I would love to be an actress or be involved in just any form of entertainment, whether that be performing on stage or singing or dancing, whatever that might be. I loved doing that when I was a little kid. I would watch TV and impersonate other people, and I love being kind of like the house clown. And finally, is there any advice that you would give to a younger athlete that was looking to start a sport? Lori, know that there are so many things that come with it. You get a community of people, you get heartbreak, you get lots of success, you get grit, and you learn about responsibility. I say absolutely go for it. You get to connect with so many wonderful people who want to do the same thing as you. And that can be a lot of fun. If it gets hard, hang in there. And know it's okay for things to feel difficult or to feel uncomfortable, because that's where you grow. Step to the mic. Hernandez used her inability to compete in Tokyo as an opportunity to work on her broadcasting career. And here she is in a picture with the famous and wonderful broadcaster Mike Tirico. Continuing with warm-up, page 14, reader engagement, Kip's mailbag. You wrote, and he answered. To have your letter appear in a future issue, email kip.shoremore@si.com. Carter writes, hi, Kip. Should NFL fans vote for who they want the team to draft? Because the draft can make fans so happy or so angry. I think this idea is fabulous, Carter. I've often thought I know better than my favorite team. Still, I can foresee a few small problems. For one, this system would probably work for only the first round. How many fans know the names of the players who will go with the 40th pick, much less the 140th? Secondly, how do you secure the vote? When an adult votes for the president, it doesn't matter who they support, since a vote for one candidate is implicitly a vote against another. If the draft operated on some kind of internet polling system, it'd be rife with jealous trolls who'd probably try to stick the Patriots with a punter or something. The location tracking technology on smartphones could help, but doesn't totally eliminate the problem. Jets fans would be as eager to ruin the Giants' pick as they would be to vote on their own. So let's cut out the middleman, Carter. Next year, let's just you and me make all the picks. Theo writes, Hi, Kip. My question is, are some ballparks easier to hit in than others? Thanks, Theo. The availing statistical evidence shows that some parks are easier to hit in. The Colorado Rockies even keep their balls in a special humidifying chamber to try to counteract the thin mountain air, which supposedly makes the ball soar off the bat. Personally, though, I find them all pretty hard to hit in. Akal writes, Hi, Kip. I'm a big fan of your magazine, and I want to give you a recommendation for a future article. Take all the worst NFL teams ever and put them in a playoff tournament to decide who will come up on top. First of all, Akal, thank you for the kind words. I love the idea for a loser bracket, a concept that's highly underutilized outside of bronze medal games. I'm not sure if the players would be so excited, though. Unless, of course, you meant the purely hypothetical bracket to determine the best of the worst. In that case, let's combine your and Carter ideas and take a vote. Tom writes, Baseball should have a salary cap. As a fan on the Milwaukee Brewers, I have the right to say this. Baseball would just be so much more competitive. We won't have teams like the Yankees or Red Sox winning each year. New teams like the Rockies or the Brewers would be playoff contenders. This needs to be changed now. As a bandwagon fan of several big market franchises, Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers, I can't sympathize, Tom, but I empathize. Who would a salary cap in baseball really help, however? There's a dirty little secret. Most, if not all, team owners, no matter the size of their city, would love a salary cap because it would save them money. Last year's World Series featured that tiniest of the small market teams, the Tampa Bay Rays. And I think your Brewers made the playoffs too. Bottom line, if you're rich enough to own a baseball team, you're probably rich enough to pay for some better pitchers. The owners in Major League Baseball don't need any help being cheap. Eli writes, Hi, Kip. I really love your column. It is the first thing I read. My question is, why only four downs in football? Why not three or five? You've stumped me, Eli. I know the concept of downs comes from football's predecessor, rugby. In modern rugby, teams get six tackles, the equivalent of a football down. So why four? Heck, why not five? The grid. Here we go. We got IndyCar drivers Alex Palou, Team USA skateboarder Corey Junet, and tennis player Alexandra Zverev. The question, what job would you want if you weren't an athlete? Alex Palou says businessman. Corey Junet says x-ray technician. Alexandra Zverev says astronomer. What was your favorite subject in school? For Alex, it was history. Corey, it was history. And Alexander, his was mathematics. What's one place you'd like to visit but haven't yet? Alex says the Grand Canyon. Corey says Greece. And Alexander says safari in Africa. What's your hidden talent? Alex says, I can make latte art. Corey says, I love building things, anything really. That's why I'd also like to be an architect. Alexander says, designing. Who was your favorite athlete growing up? Alex says, Michael Schumacher. Corey says, Tom Penny, Ishad Ware, and Rune Gifleg. And Alexander says, Dwayne Wade. And finally, what's your go-to pregame meal? Alex says, chicken and rice. Corey says, steak and mashed potatoes. Alexander says, sweet potato and chicken. Let's take a look at end zone, page 52. Well, number one, edge of the seat. Whitney and Penny are playing tennis in the treehouse. Penny serves, and Whitney turns with a shot that has plenty of spin. The ball lands on Penny's side, but then bounces erratically toward the Empire Stand, which sits directly at center court. The ball lands in the empty chairs, umpire's chair, coming to rest ever so slightly on Whitney's side of the net. Who gets the point? What's the call? Whitney gets the point. If the ball hits a permanent fixture, which includes the stands and the umpire chair, after landing on the correct side of the court, the player who hit the ball gets the point. How about the trivia challenge? In a June win against L.A., Yu Darvish struck out his 1,500th batter in his 197th Major League Baseball game, making him the fastest player to record the milestone. Just a few weeks later, which pitcher reached the mark in his 198th start? Was it A, Jacob DeGrom, B, Garrett Cole, or C, Chris Archer? The answer, it was A, Jacob DeGrom. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.